Good evening, church. This is midweek service, and I have a small portion today, and the portion is it's a eulogy to the servants of God who went home to be with the Lord recently, and God buries his workmen, but God's work goes on. I was in a conversation with Pastor Sudarshan in Hyderabad, and he made an interesting observation, and he said that in heaven right now there is a great convention happening because these men of God have passed on from this earth, and they have gone to be home with the Lord, you know. So, and if you heard the drive-in service this Sunday also, Pastor Shala in his drive-in makes a mention of close to 8 servants of God names. Though these men did not like pass away this month or this season, but over a period of some few years, but he made a mention of that, and I thought to myself that we are a very privileged generation, or personally I could say I am living in a very privileged generation, and why I say that, it's because of the spiritual legacy and the heritage which is left behind for us by these great servants of God Most High. And just reflecting on three men's life, which really has impacted me in this season, just thinking about them. One was Dr. Billy Graham, who was, God ordained him, chose him to be a worldwide evangelist. And very recently when Ravi passed away, God raised up this man, and he went on to be one of the greatest apologists of our times. And what a gift, a worldwide apologist, what a gift to us. And it makes all the more special because Ravi was Indian, so I feel all the more very happy, and like God raised up somebody from our land and gave him as a gift to the whole world, right? And how about our own Dr. Stevens, right? When God gave him the vision to have a worldwide church, Greater Grace World Outreach, right? Just thinking of all these diverse portions, and if you just apply and receive their portions, just think about it, what a reservoir is actually getting formed in you, and how you could actually give this deposit, which is now in you, you can actually give it to this world, which actually lacks these things, especially at this point of time. So even as we progress into the message, let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. Bless our people. Bless with your word. We are looking towards you, and we need you even more than what we know of you yesterday. We need you now. Minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would just term this portion as the mantle of God. The mantle of God. And the scripture portion is 1 Kings 19 verses 11 to 19. 1 Kings 19 verses 11 to 19. So let's read these few verses. And it says in verse 11, Then he said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. If you look at these two verses, there are mention of this wind, earthquake, fires, and in the end, it's the Lord is not in any of these three, but He is in that still small voice. And I thought to myself that the times that we are living in now, in particular, the world is seeing many events. The world is witnessing things which they have never witnessed in their whole lives. And just to name a few, it's the pandemic is still on and it's on the rise. There is tremendous joblessness which we are seeing all over the world. We are seeing unprecedented locust attacks all over Africa, India, and if you think about our borders in Sikkim and in Ladakh, there is a big standoff between India and China. Nations are at war against each other, right? So here is a very typical situation, and and we see that God was not in those situations, but I'm saying that in midst of that situations or what we see around us, God is in that still small voice communicating something, right? He wants to communicate something to us, and I'm so glad that to each one of us, because of the various portions that we are receiving, God is like communicating to each one, to whatever level we are at, in whatever capacity we are at. He is, and He has never stopped communicating to us with a still small voice. Verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 14, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, do this. Anoint Hazael as king over Israel, of Syria, sorry. Jehu as king over Israel. And this is what he says, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Mahola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Verse 17, it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Very important, verse 18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And make a note of this. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Elijah throws his mantle on Elisha. Right? So, a few points on the mantle. In the Old Testament, the mantle was the official garment of a prophet. The mantle marked a person as an ambassador and a spokesman for God. And the mantle was also a symbol of sacrifice with intimacy and a total commitment unto God. Right? And in closing, let's move to 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is the parting scene when Elijah is now going to be taken away. He's going to be taken away. And Elisha is with him. And let's read what happens. And in verse 11, then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And listen to this, verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elijah. And the same thing in verse 14. Then he took the mantle of Elijah. Right, so, and that's the message which I had, that unprecedented situations, passing away of the servants of God. But in midst of that, God is inviting you and me and saying, pick up that mantle, pick up that mantle. And I leave you with that thought, and let's pray. God, we thank you. Lord, your work goes on, but prepare us for that next step. Give us your burden, give us your mantle, and anoint us for the work which you have set before us. Bless our service, bless all the people of God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service. Thank you for your prayers for me, for my sister, for my family. And the good news is we are going to meet this Sunday. By faith, by grace, we're going to meet. We have waited, right? So that's the good news today. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 12 to verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being a faithful God. And thank you for the good news, Lord, that all churches can meet in Bangalore City. Thank you for that. Help us, Father, to take the right steps, Lord. Thank you for protecting us, Father, from the virus. And speak to our hearts today, Lord, and minister to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Genesis 2:18, God looked at Adam and said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And when you look at this subject of social isolation, one of the key things which God has shown the whole world is that we need people in our lives. We need people in our lives. Man is not called to be an island. In the many calls I made over the last couple of weeks talking to each one of you, one of the key points that everyone mentioned was that they really spent quality time with their family. And that was really good news. And today I want to speak on the subject of God's spiritual family, the church or the body of Christ. As we look forward to getting out of the lockdown and meet again, it's important to understand the importance and the value of the body of Christ. And so I would like to title this message, "We Need Each Other." We need each other. When we look at this passage which we have read, we can divide this passage or this portion into three main points. The first point is verse 12 and verse 13, and that point is the human body is a unit. The second section is from verse 14 to verse 20. The human body has many parts. And the third point is verse 21 all the way to verse 27. The parts of the human body work together as one. I'll repeat that. Three points. The first point, the human body is a unit, verse 12 and 13. The second point, the human body has many parts, verses 14 to verses 20. And the third point, the parts of the human body work together as one, verses 21 to verses 27. So you can divide this as you read it into three segments. So in our first point, the human body is a unit. The human body is a unit. And in verse 12 and 13, it is saying, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is using the analogy of the human body to illustrate the principle of the body of Christ. And he is saying the human body is a unit. So each human body is one unit, but it has many members or many parts. And all the parts, though they are many, are part of one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. And it says in verse 13, by one Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit, when you got saved, who took you and baptized you or immersed you into the body of Christ. So all born again Christians all over the world are part of the universal body of Christ. And wherever we meet as a local church, we are part of that local church, but we are also a part of the universal body of Christ. So wherever you go in the world and you meet another believer, you will instantly sense that oneness because the Holy Spirit has done it. We are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we see here in our sub-point, in the first point of the human body is a unit. The sub-point, point A, is the things which are common. The things which are common. And what are the things which are common? The first thing which is common to all believers is we are all baptized into one body by grace. And the second thing which is common is we are all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. Now this is what is common to each individual who has believed in Jesus as his or her Savior. And what is that? That we are all sinners and we are all saved by God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith. We are indwelled by the same Holy Spirit and we have been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the things which are common to all believers in the world, irrespective of male, female, or age. This is something which is common. And this is such an encouraging point that we all have a personal relationship with the living God. We are all saved by grace. We are all on the same footing. And what is that footing or that foundation? That we have been saved by grace through faith. Nobody is better, nobody is worse. Our merit did not bring us into a favorable relationship with God, but it was His pure grace which brought us into a favorable relationship with Him based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His death, His burial and His resurrection. And through that, we are all saved. And we all have the gift of eternal life. And we all have a personal relationship with the living God. And so in that way, those are the things which are common. And therefore, the human body is a unit. That means all believers form one unit, the body of Christ. Now, in our second point, we see the human body has many parts from verses 14 to verses 20. And in a similar way, this, if you read the context of 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about spiritual gifts. When you read it from verses, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to verse 10, but it is saying that the gifts are given by the triune God in verses 4 to 6. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, and God the Father. And He gives in verse 7 for the profit of all or for the common good. So this is the context of the spiritual gifts where every believer has at least one spiritual gift given at salvation. And now the Apostle Paul is saying that how these gifts need to be understood and to be used in the context of the body of Christ. And that is the background here. So we see in verse, the next point, the human body has many parts. In verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member but many. That's important. The body is not one member but many, right? Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now here we see in our first sub-point under point number 2, or we could say sub-point A, that a member of the body of Christ feels inferior based upon their perceived usefulness. So here we see in verse 15, The foot is thinking, because I'm not a hand, the foot is thinking, I am touching the floor all the time. I am touching dust and moisture and uncleanness all the time. But the hands, right? One of the key phrases of this COVID season was, keep washing hands, right? Be safe, right? So the foot can think, maybe the hand is a more useful organ as compared to the foot. And therefore, I'm not a part of the body. And in the same way, the ear could think, the eye sees everything, and maybe I'm not as important as the eye, and therefore I'm not a part of the body. So there is an inferiority complex here because of comparison, because of perceived usefulness, and because that part of the body is not what they think they should be. And that's important. And then it says in verse 17, this is God's answer, and that is the sub-point B of point number 2. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And this talks about the importance of every part of the body. Every part. Whether it is very useful or not so useful, whether it does a very important work or not so important work, every part of the body is important. And then we come to sub-point C in verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. Now that's a very beautiful point. God has set the members in the body of Christ, just the way He has pleased. Just the way He has pleased. So if you think you're a foot, you just have to be happy that you are a foot. If you think you're a ear, just be happy you're a ear. Because God has made that place for you. God has chosen that position for you. Right? We don't choose our position in the body of Christ or our place in the body of Christ. God chooses it for us. Just the way it has pleased Him. So, just like the human body, there's one human body, but it has many parts, like eyes, ears, there's a mouth, hands, there's a torso, there's legs, there's a nose, there are feet, etc. In the same way, the body of Christ is one body, but there are many members, and many members are like those parts of the human body. And each one of them is very, very important, irrespective of what they think about themselves or irrespective of, how they compare themselves with other members in the body of Christ. They are fundamentally very important parts of the body of Christ because God has set them just the way He has pleased. Now, it's very interesting to note that many times we choose our friends based upon common interests or common likes or dislikes. But in the body of Christ, God chooses the members. And sometimes we may not like some people in the body of Christ, but that's too bad because God has set the members just the way He has pleased. Now we come to our third point, which is from verses 21 to verse 27. The parts of the human body work together as one. So though there are many parts of the human body, they are all working together as one. This was what Pastor Chris mentioned in Sunday morning's message, that the Lord in John 17 prayed for oneness, unity, right? So there is, all the parts of the body work beautifully and in a united way and in a synchronized way, and they are one. Now this is important. So we see here in verse 21, verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So if everybody was an eye, Pastor, my friend, the late Pastor Mahesh would always joke with me. He said, if everybody was a pastor, then who would be listening to the word of God? Right? So God has chosen a few pastors that way. So if everybody was an eye, or if everybody was an ear, or if everybody was a foot or a hand, who would do the other functions? Right? And in verse 20, but now indeed there are many members but one body. So that's part of point number 2. Now point number 3 in verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now this is a very important verse. This talks about a superiority complex. This talks about pride. Sometimes when I have a particular gift, which I think is a greater gift, I could think in this way, or Satan could project that to me, that you have a greater gift and therefore you don't need that other person with a lesser gift. Or you don't, like if you think you are an eye, you don't need the hand. Or if you think you are the head, you don't need the foot. Right? And this talks about a superiority complex and pride. But verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So in verse 24, God composed the body. So one of the key things we need to understand in the body of Christ is there is no superiority and there is no pride. That is there in the world, but that is not there in the body of Christ. Because if somebody has a greater gift, the greater gift is given with the added responsibility and accountability. And the greater gift is given for the benefit and edification of the body of Christ. And in verse 21, when we operate that way, that I have no need of you, I have no need of you, God will correct us and say, no, I have need of you. And therefore, I've titled this message, we need each other. In 1 Peter 3:7, God tells husbands, live with your wife as the weaker vessel, giving a great honor, that your prayers be not hindered. Sometimes I, as an individual, as a man, may think I'm superior, I'm a man, God has made me stronger. But God has not made me stronger to tell my wife, I have no need of you, but to tell her, I have need of you. Why? Because originally God designed it that way, that a man should not be alone. Right? You know, there are certain things which a wife can do which a husband cannot do. Right? And I need my wife, and my wife needs me. We both need each other. I need my wife to have a baby. It's a mutual work. I have need of her, and she has need of me. And the child, my child, my daughter, needs us as parents, and we need her. We all need each other. And the same is true in the body of Christ. We need each other. There should not be this superiority complex or this pride that those of us who are seemingly having greater gifts, it should not be there. If you and I have done Bible school, if you and I are in some leadership role or capacity or a missionary, or on a team, or a leader of an outreach, we should not have this mindset that I do not need somebody. We should not have it. Why? We need each other. We need each other. Right? We need each other. You know, we need each other. And what does this talks about? This talks about interdependence. And this talks about teamwork. What is interdependence? Yes, I am an individual. Yes, I can live on my own, and I have a personal relationship with the living God. But I, God has given me also a spiritual family, which is the body of Christ. And I need the church. Because in the church, God has given men gifts in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And those men gifts are for my edification and for my growth. And I too may have a specific gift which I can use for the benefit, for the profit and the edification of others. And as we do this, there is a growth which comes from God in Ephesians 4:16. As each part of the body understands, receives from the Lord, understands its unique place, and starts working in beautiful harmony with one another, there is an increase which comes from God. Right? Because God does not desire that we would live this Christian life alone. And so it's very important here. There's interdependence. We depend on each other. You know, if you see Satan's temptation to Eve, it was to make her independent of God. And now sometimes the temptation to individual Christians is to make an individual Christian independent of the church. Satan will project to you. You are smart, you are intelligent, you know the word of God a lot, you have a greater gift, therefore you don't need the church. And that is a thought from the pit of hell. And that thought needs to be corrected through the word of God. No matter how much I know of the Bible, no matter how much I have achieved for God, I need the body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other. And it says here, verse 23 and 24, that those who are weaker, that we should bestow greater honor on them. As husbands, we bestow greater honor on our wives, on our children who are weak, who need us, right? As a man of God, I need to bestow honor on the congregation and on the seemingly weak brothers and sisters. Bestow honor. We need each other. Now, this is important today for us to understand. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. You know, the body of Christ is a beautiful place, and you are a part of it, and you are very, very welcome in our church, because you are an important part of the body of Christ. It is not based upon what is your spiritual gift. It is not based upon how useful you think you are or what you can do for God or the body of Christ. It is simply based upon the fact that you are an important and unique member of the body of Christ. And nobody can take your place. And it says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you know, it is the similar principle of the human body. If you get a headache, your whole body feels the pain. If you cut your finger and blood starts running out, the finger is cut, but your whole body feels the pain and discomfort. In the same way, when an individual in the body of Christ goes through some difficulty, like the loss of a loved one or some sickness, we weep with those because we feel their pain, because we are organically connected through the Holy Spirit, right? And through the Word of God, we are organically connected. But if something good happens to somebody, like a baby is born or some prayer gets answered, which we have been praying for a long time, then we rejoice together. And one of the things we can rejoice together is this lockdown is finally over and we can meet on Sunday. We are what? Rejoicing together, right? It's the same principle, right? And verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Members individually. Now, this talks about my own uniqueness. And as I was reading this and thinking about this for many weeks and meditating on it, I realized this, that you are a unique person. You and I, we are unique people. We can be inspired by other believers in the faith and brothers and sisters in the faith. But we don't have to behave like them or act like them. We just have to be who we are. Because you and I, we are unique. There is no second person like you. Even if the second person has a name like you, or you have an identical twin, but there is no second person like you. You are unique in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, in the body of Christ, and you have a unique gift. Now, this is important. We must understand this. Because of our uniqueness, you and I, we are irreplaceable, but we are not indispensable. And what does that mean? Being irreplaceable means impossible to replace. Impossible. And the men of God who went home, Dr. Ravi Zachariah, Pastor Carl, Pastor Nikana, our founding pastor, the late Pastor Stevens, Pastor Mahesh, you cannot replace them. They were unique individuals. They served on the earth and they are in heaven now. They are irreplaceable. But they were not indispensable. And what I mean by that is, the work of God goes on. Even though servants of God pass away into eternity, into heaven, the work of God goes on. And you and I must never think that we are indispensable. You and I must never think that, oh, the church will not run without me. Oh, the kingdom of God will not run without me. That is a wrong understanding of the scriptures. We are irreplaceable because we are unique, but we are not indispensable, right? Israel thought they were indispensable, that without them God could not further his program. But God, if you read Romans 9, 10 and 11, changed the program from Israel to the Gentiles. And therefore we were included in that program. And what does that show? They are irreplaceable as a people group, but they are not indispensable, because the plan of God has gone forward with the Gentiles, which is you and me. In conclusion today, what has this lockdown, this coronavirus, this being at home taught us? This, and I was thinking of a couple of points. The first thing it has taught us, that no matter what we are doing, whether in secular life or in ministry or whatever we are doing, the most fundamental thing which is important to us is God and Him alone. That's the most fundamental thing. That's the first thing. What is the second thing? The second thing, when we realize that God is fundamentally important to us, then His Word becomes very important to us. What is the third thing? The third thing which becomes important to us is my time with God, spending time with God, reading His Word, praying, listening to messages. Very important. My walk with the Lord, that's very important. What is the fourth thing? The fourth thing all of us confess, you confess, I also confessed. Family is important. Let us not get so busy with work as things open up, and let us not get so busy with worldly pursuits, or trying to earn so much money that we ignore our family and we don't spend time with our family and we don't invest in our family. And what is the fifth thing? The body of Christ is important. Now, I was constantly thinking about this. God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to teach me? And it is possible that some of us have become familiar with the body of Christ. We have become familiar with the church. We have become familiar with the men of God who teach and preach to us. And God is showing us not to be familiar with the house of God, not to be familiar with the body of Christ, not to be familiar with any person in the body of Christ, because each person is valuable. Each person is important. Each person is a new creation. Each person has a gift and they can add value to my life. They can encourage me. They can build me up. Each person is important. Right? And that is the beauty of the body of Christ. So let's think about this today as the lockdown opens out. Yes, we are planning to come to the church on Sunday. But what is more important is, what is the attitude I come with to the church? What is the attitude I come with to the church? Right? There can be unity, which is, you know, for this passage, agape love and spirituality are the prerequisites for this. Otherwise, it cannot happen. I can be united with a group of believers, but it may not be for the glory of God. It could be for self-glory or for some selfish agenda. And that doesn't bring glory to God. But if I come to the church, I must come with the right kind of attitude. And what is that? Hey, I'm coming here to glorify God. I'm coming here to worship God, to praise Him, to fellowship with Him. And what else? And because of what I understand in the Word, I'm also coming here to love my brother or my sister as He has loved me. And also to express my spiritual gift. If you have a gift today, whether it's preaching or teaching, or the gift to share the gospel, or any other gift, there are many gifts listed in the Bible. Use it. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the body of Christ, the edification in the body of Christ, the growth in the body of Christ. Use it. And let's close with this statement. I want to say it again and again. We need each other. We need each other. I need you, and you need me. And both of us, we need God. I need my wife. I need my child. They need me. We need one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need each other. And we must learn to think about this passage and learn to look at each other in Christ and love one another as He has loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for this beautiful passage on the body of Christ. Thank You for the many beautiful truths You taught us this evening. And may it not just remain in our awareness, but help us to understand it, help us to mix faith with it. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit would change our attitude as we think about it and transform us, Lord. Yes, in our marriages, in our family life, and also in the body of Christ. Yes, Father. Transform us, Lord. Yes. Yes, and we pray that we would live in this unity which You have called us into. Yes. Yes, Father. United as one body. Many members, but one body. Many members doing different things, but with one purpose, to glorify our Father in heaven. Thank You, Lord. We worship You. We praise You. Yes, we love You because You first loved us. Thank You for ministering to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.